Good morning. Good morning, sector lords. Good morning, heads of boards. Good morning, all of you. Good morning. Good morning to the troops gathering in the ancient West Woods, preparing their way for the future with swords made of axle grease. Good morning to the strange sailors out there someplace in the Indian Ocean. That's racist. Good morning. It's Sunday, September the 29th. 2024 Bo Blimp Doc. It's time to get up. It's time to feed. It's time to go get the corn and the oats, you know, and everything you need. Feed all your animals out there in the barn. Why don't you go grab some yarn and make yourself an old-fashioned fucking sweater? Then you sit there by the fire with a kettle and a pot. And you're getting ready to make yourself some old-timey coffee chicory tea. Yeah. Are you, though? Because it is September the 29th, 2024. And I wasn't able to get as many podcasts done this last year as I'd hoped to. One of the things I think will be a benefit of being in this new place, hopefully, is I'll get more done. Hopefully at least one or two a week. Maybe two or three. Two or three a week would be pretty good. 12 a month would be fine. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I could end up doing one per day. The problem is I have to have something worth talking about. And, you can't help after this many podcasts. It is impossible to not repeat yourself. There's this often used statement, mnemonic, in the world of software engineering called DRY, don't repeat yourself, which means that if you have code that's repeating itself, wrap it in an iterator. If you're reusing it, put it in a function. If it's big time, why don't you build yourself a class? But the point is, you don't want to repeat yourself. It's almost impossible with conversations we have with people to not repeat ourselves. If we're talking or having a one-sided monologue style conversation for hundreds and hundreds of hours, you're gonna repeat yourself. So, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, except to say it is September the 29th, 2024. And there are creatures that dwell on the perimeter of your consciousness. They are ghosts. They are poltergeists. They live on the perimeter of your awareness. They're out there someplace. They look at you right after you fall asleep. They disappear into the closet right when you awake. But they're out there making plans. They look at you. They watch you at night. Yes. Yes. It's weird. I would talk to you about the news, and perhaps we'll cover one or two subjects today, but none of it's that different from what it was a few days ago. Every day you get some nonsense story to make it seem as if it's all kind of random and crazy chaos, but in reality, once you see it for what it is, it's predictable. And all I can tell you is there's tremendous amounts of entropy built up in the system. And when I say system, I just don't mean economic at this point. I mean social, I mean political, I mean the whole fucking thing. And that entropy will have to go someplace.
And you could say, well, Dan, we're on the verge of an artificial intelligence post-scarcity wonderland.
And when that shows up at the grocery store, you know, I will celebrate. You know, I will really celebrate. When that shows up at the front door, when people, ordinary people, can afford to fucking live with basic fucking shelter, I will celebrate your Bitcoin post-scarcity fucking nonsense. But right now, it looks like a Boston Robotics video. It's really cool looking, but I don't really take it too fucking seriously. Okay, not the streets where I walk. And when I used to talk about this subject, I was living in Seattle, and on those streets in Seattle with the garbage and the dried human poop, I would ask myself, if the robots are almost here, why don't you give them the simplest and one of the most important jobs I can think of if they're going to be so ubiquitous, so cheap, so everywhere? Why don't you get them to clean the shit off the streets, literally and figuratively? And I haven't seen that yet, bro. I see lots of videos, I see lots of statements. Oh, there was a Zero Hedge article, Dan, about how AI is so smart, it'll replace all the currency traders. Well, fuck. Ask me if I give a fuck about that. Oh my God, all the currency traders, all the people that spend their time and energy figuring out how to do an arbitrage between every crooked central bank fiat currency, knowing on some level that it's all the Fed or someone controlling it, but it's really not organic. You mean all those people who do a kind of neo-Stalinist service work, they'll lose their jobs to an AI? Well, A, I don't care, and B, I don't actually believe it. Yeah. I'm not saying these people are keeping their jobs. I'm just saying that's not how they lose them. You know. But it makes for a great story, doesn't it? If you have to lay off a whole bunch of people, you can come out and say, well, it's AI. It's a very different scenario if they have to start being honest and saying, it's not AI, it's not, you know, nanotech, it's not mRNA. The truth is, it's implosion. The system is falling apart. That message doesn't sell to the hayseeds. That message doesn't work out to the folks in Soho drinking their artisanal martinis. It doesn't work out. That particular message doesn't fucking compute. You can sell people on aliens at this point. You can sell people on some rock or black hole or planet X heading to us at the speed of light. You can sell people on pole shifts and all kinds of crap. But if you ask a person to put down their fucking smartphone for a few seconds and look up at the fucking sky that's above them, you can't sell that. You really can't. You can't really sell the obvious truth, but you can sell a shitload of bullshit. That's why the robot apocalypse works. That's why the reset works. That's why people worry about AI taking your fucking job. Because the truth is, you're going to lose your job. But it won't be because of a fucking robot. And that's the other thing, too. The robot story comes with a happy ending. Phrasing. The robot story comes with a happy ending. It does. Because even if it takes your job, you're going to live a life of luxury. Sure, you might end up in some type of Ray Bradbury dystopian Velt type hellhole VR reality someplace in Africa. Yeah. So I don't know. The news is crap. The news is mostly garbage. I can't tell you about an article I've read that I'm certain is true. But let's go on. The first topic, very soon, according to the news, there will be a Panda Express on Mars. But I'll read on before that. Headline, China on track for crewed moon landing by 2030, space officials says. This article is from April 24th, 2024. I may have already read this one. It's from April. I might not have. I gotta say, if I read this already to make fun of the moon, you can send me an email, because this particular article seems familiar. Dateline Helsinki. China is on target to reach its goal of putting its astronauts on the moon before the end of the decade, according to the country's Human Spaceflight Agency. Officials with the China Manned Space Engineering provided a rare update on the crewed lunar program during a press conference in Jingguan Spaceport, April 24th. The program development for major flight products, including the Long March 10 rocket, the Mengzhou crew spacecraft, the lunar lander Langyu, and the lunar landing suits, oh, you got to talk about them, and are all complete, said Lin Xinkeng, deputy director of CMSEO. Their prototype production and tests are in full swing. Chinese officials previously announced a plan to put a pair of astronauts on the moon before 2030. Two Long March 10 lunar variant rockets will separately launch Mengzhou and three astronauts and the Lanyu lander. The pair will then perform a lunar orbit rendezvous and docking ahead of descent to the lunar surface. We know what that means, downtown. Descent to the lunar surface. Docking rendezvous. Two astronauts will spend 6 hours on the lunar surface. Oh my God, 6 hours. I think the NASA guy said they spent 3 days the last time. Two astronauts will spend 6 hours on the lunar surface before rejoining their colleague in lunar orbit and returning to Earth. The development of mechanical and thermal test products for the crew spacecraft and lander have been basically completed. Various rocket engines are undergoing hot fire tests, and the Wenchang crewed lunar exploration launch site is under construction, Lin said. New launch infrastructure is required to facilitate the missions. This is being built near China's existing coastal spaceport at Wenchang, Hainan Island. Furthermore, proposals for a crew lunar rover and lunar surface payloads solicited from the public under selection, Lin stated. CMSA, I have no idea what that's supposed to fucking mean. Lin stated, CMSA announced a call for proposals for a lunar crew rover, potentially using a commercial development model in May 2023. That's the past. Lin added that astronaut training for the mission includes mastering operation of the Mengzhou and Longye Wabba Wabba spacecraft, including in normal and emergency flight conditions. Shit. Rendezvous and docking and manually avoiding obstacles during the lander's descent were noted as part of the training. Oh boy, I'm going to read that one again. Rendezvous and docking and manually avoiding obstacles during the lander's descent were noted as part of the training. They'd have to guide a tube that is covered in lube. It has to arrive at a point. You'll have a broken joint. Yeah. Other activities include entering and exiting the lander. That sounds like a master's class. Working in 1/6 of Earth's gravity. Oh my God. Long-range lunar roving, drilling, sampling, and other scientific work on the lunar surface. The crewed lunar landing mission is part of China's wider plans to establish a robotic... Oh, here we go again. We switch up on the narrative monsters. a robotic and eventually inhabited moon base. Wow, just like Colonel Koenig in Space 1999. Huh, that was a couple decades ago. I mean 1999. The show is like 50 years old. Anyways, I'm done. I can't read more of this. I may not have read this article, but I can tell you I've read a lot of articles like this my whole fucking life. And the one thing they have in common is they usually give you a 10-year deadline. In the last couple years, it switched to 5 years. Now, why is that interesting? As a Sovietologist, the switch from 10 or 20 years to 5 years, you could say, well, Dan, it's because they're getting close. No. Back in the 1970s, they were saying, we're 10 years away from landing a man on Mars. So that's what I mean. I don't mean actual 10 years. It's an excuse. It's a window of excuses. It's not a real thing. They've been promising workable fusion energy since more or less the mid-1950s, and it was always 10 years away. In 2014, there was an article in Popular Mechanics about how Lockheed had a fusion reactor that would fit in the back of your fucking truck, and it's only 10 years away. But in recent years, it's 5 years away, or less. It's never a few weeks away, and they're never that determinant about it, but it's definitely getting closer, whatever it is. And I don't think it's fusion energy, or robots, or Panda Express on the moon, or Mars. But one day there will be a Panda Express on Mars. This is a noted fact by scientists and researchers at the Institute of Futurology. Yes, by the year 2040, China will be the first country to put the first Panda Express on Mars. People will eat lab-grown panda meat. People will eat panda meat grown in a lab. Designed for space travelers and the first hookah republic of Mars. Elon Musk will be a half machine head by then, and he will float around the Martian world in a giant inflatable onesie. We will all suckle upon regret on Mars, as the demons from Sector 8 lay siege to our boob factories, those bastards. Yes, by the year 2040, people will be living on the moon, people will be traveling to Mars, people will be drinking in space bars, and they'll still have problems. They'll still have broken relationships, they'll still hang out there on Thanksgiving. By the year 2040, there will be hospitals that ship you in one side and throw you out the other side. By the year 2040, you'll go to a restaurant. They'll serve you some kind of plate. It'll be the last thing you ate, right? By the year 2040, we will all live in tubes. By the year 2040, women will have robotic boobs. It's always, you know, a few years away. But what I have noticed, and it's really since 2020 mostly, is that a lot of these deadlines are shifting from 10 years away every year to 5 years away every year. Now, of course, they keep shifting the deadlines. As I recall, Bush was going to have us back on the moon by what, the year 2010 or something, or 2008 or whatever. I mean, he was definitely going to get us back there, as I recall. And so was Obama. And eventually Trump and everyone else. They'll say, we're going to go back to the moon. They keep telling us we're going back to the moon. How is it so hard after so many decades to go back to the moon? Why is it these, you know, Chinese folks are going there And it's like they're just figuring out how to do things, you know, like build a spacesuit for the moon. It seems like somebody did this decades ago. And if your comeback is, well, Dan, that's the private top secret, I'll stop you right there. The Clinton administration gave away a lot of private top secret Raytheon missile type stuff back in the 90s so that the Chinese could have missiles that could hit the United States reasonably accurately. Tell me again about what our government won't give away. So if there were a way to easily build a spacesuit so people can hoppity hoppity skippity skippity on the moon, then the Chinese would already have those plans, I think. Oh, but Dan, that's not fair. That's not fair. It's fair. It's fair. In the year 2024, if we're talking about going back to the moon a few years from now, everything I'm saying is fair. But what I think as a Sovietologist and what I think you should consider is that it used to be 10 and now it's 5. And that kind of leads me to believe that the window for whatever's coming next is approaching quickly. You know, that light at the end of the tunnel is coming fast. And I can't say what the light is, but it's coming fast because, you know, it used to be 10 years away. Now it's 5 years. Soon it will be a year. In fact, if you want to know what a potential signal would look like, imagine if the elected president says, in 1 year, we're returning to the moon. At that point, you should be clear that... Well, a couple things are true. No one's going back to the moon. A, and B, some terrible stuff is about to happen. Because that's what you do with these deadlines. You put them out just beyond the point of reach. You tell people in so many decades. I remember back in, I think it was 2016, late 2016, a different leader of Argentina, but in a lot of ways not so different, was talking about their central bank issuing 50-year bonds. Now, if you don't know anything about Argentinian history, understand this. If the United States government issued a 50-year bond, would you buy it? Would you buy it? Would you buy a 100-year bond? Because there were people in Argentina joking about 100-year bonds. Bonds that reach maturity in a century. A century bond. And they say, well, Dan, I heard people gonna be living to be 150 years. I know, 150 years old, and we're all gonna drink martinis on Mars. And it's only about 10 years away. And it's only been about 10 years away every year of my fucking life. But let's propose the possibility here that they're lying to us, that it's always 10 years away or 5 years away now, because it's never gonna fucking happen. So in late 2016, as I recall, and it could have been 2015, the Argentinian government was talking about floating 50-year bonds. And that was one of the first podcasts I did on the subject. It was the 10,000-year galaxy bond. Because why not? Why not issue moon bonds? Bonds for the moon. Bonds that represent moon land. I could be the John Law of the 21st century. We could issue bonds for all the land on the moon. You know? And these bonds could be 100-year, 200-year, 500-year bonds. And you'd say, well, Dan, what kind of crooked, crazy shit is that? And I'll tell you, in a few centuries, your great, 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 whatever grandchildren, they'll be able to go into an old dusty safe and pull out some sort of digital fucking certificate with a QR code, and all of a sudden, they'll be rich beyond imagination. Yeah, you know. It's a grift, it's a con. It's a con. If somebody comes up to you and says, you should invest in a bond and this bond is redeemable in 50 years, it's a con. It's a grift. And I don't care if it's a libertarian shithead. If this whole shebang, this whole circus, and I mean the whole thing, I mean the whole planet crazy, is still quasi-functioning as it is right now, a year from now, yeah, that Malay guy could end up spinning off a 50-year Argentinian bond. Certainly you don't do that until you get all the gold to London. Oh yeah, he shipped the gold to London. Well, Dan, that doesn't mean nothing. And that's another thing, too, to all you crap heads out there who sent me angry emails, Dan, you should be more optimistic about Malay. Let me tell you something, buddy. I am optimistic about reasonable things that aren't terrible, that could happen. I'm not really optimistic about terrible fucking shit that will probably fucking happen. Sorry. Malay. Anyways, next topic. We all know that very soon the Chinese will be opening a Panda Express on Mars. This is a matter of ancient scientific fact. All the laser folks of the past and the present and the future know this. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. There's something for everyone to go berserk about this over this year. There's something for everyone to go crazy about this year. There's something for every soul to go a little bit crazy about this year. Are you worried they're going to take away your Planned Parenthood? Are you worried they're going to take away your pronouns? Are you worried they're going to take away your guns? The ones you buy at Cabela's. You shoot them once a month. And then you go back home. You go online. You make fun of Europeans who gave up all their guns. Then you go to Cabela's. You fill out another form. Yeah. A lot of you motherfuckers are going to get angry and upset and buy a bunch of guns, and the plan will be working, and you'll take those guns home and you'll sit on them. Oh, Dan, I go out and I know you practice, you train with them, but what the fuck squad level, platoon level, or company level training have you done in the last 10 years? And if you want to send me I do it every week, you're lying. You're probably lying. So I don't care that you've trained with your own personal set of guns someplace in the city or the country. The reality is you're not doing anything with them. People are not doing anything with them. In reality, people are doing exactly what the government wants. And in reality, they're behaving exactly like the Europeans, the ones they make fun of. If you go to Europe and you have money, within about 90 minutes, you could get a 9mm submachine gun. Now, are you going to buy it from a store? No, that's illegal. But the black market will get you a 9mm submachine gun with ammo within an hour or an hour and a half. And if you've ever had to wait in line for your background check at Cabela's, that could be about the same amount of time anyway. There are plenty of guns, and there are plenty of ways of making guns and weapons on every corner of the planet right now. A lot of the pipeline material that is used in the oil industry could easily be repurposed to make hobo cannon. And you could say, well, Dan, those hobo cannon, they wouldn't be anything as good as an SP-155, but they would kick the ass, probably, of just about anything your police department has, right? My point is simple. There's plenty of ways of making weapons on planet Earth right now. Unless you're willing to do something yourself, you should probably shut the hell up. Because it sounds like you're just going berserk over something you don't intend to do anything about. You can spend all your time making fun of British people who gave up their guns. But from what I can tell, when the quote-unquote mega heads get turned on, they end up going to the wrong places and they end up being taken advantage of by the FBI. So no. Pick something to go berserk about, though. You know, a lot of people are berserk about Project 2025. I don't even know what the fuck it is. Let's see if I can't find a listing of it. I'm on the internet, brothers and sisters. I'm sure I can get to Project 2025, Bo Blimpdoc. Let's see. Project, oh my God, it just pops up too. What is Project 2025? Project 2025 aims to transform. And it's terrifying. This is written by Rick Perlstein. Wow. Oh, yeah, Perlstein. Kills democracy. Oh, I don't care. It's not even worth reading. Next topic, but there are no more topics, Dan, because you didn't have a lot of topics for the, I don't care. I'm not going to read about Project 25. Am I going to? Let's see. Oh, there it is. The Heritage Foundation sponsors it. Is it a long-ass PDF? The left has spent millions fear-mongering about Project 2025. Project 2025 is a historical movement, bowel movement, brought together by 100 respected neocon organizations to abolish today's quote-unquote deep state, to replace it with our deep state, but it's really the same deep state. Okay. Yeah, this is stupid. Secure the border. Unleash American energy. De-weaponize the federal government and dismantle the deep state. Improve education. Yeah, I don't think any of those things are going to happen. And if you want to know about securing the border, we talked about that yesterday. Any fucking wall they build, any fucking fence they put up is not to keep people out. Make no doubt that Trump will get in all the workers that are needed, all the Haitians, all the people from Benin, everybody required to work at that meatpacking factory. So don't worry about it, really. This unleash American energy shit, that means basically ripping off public lands and giving it to corporate cronies for free. And this is while a lot of Americans are homeless, basically. And you know, to be honest with you, what's hidden in all this is the same credit-based housing scam that is pushing more and more people into desperation. There are, you know, it's funny, when I lived in Utah, you would drive around and you would see these signs that say, these are your public lands. You know, the Bureau of Land Management, BLM. Huh, I wonder if that's an accident. Anyways, the BLM would have these signs all over fucking Utah saying, these are your public lands. But if you went onto those lands and you built yourself a cabin, it's more likely than not the feds would come in and blow you away. So it's a lie. It's ironic, maybe. It's dumb. Don't take it seriously. This unleashing American energy, well, this is another euphemism. This is another irony. The fact is, this will be more neo-Stalinism crap. So anyways. You know, I don't even want to dig deeper into it. Secure the border. Secure the border. Fix education. The way you fix the education, it's real simple. You shut down the Department of Education. Guess what? Trump's not going to do that. He'll fix it the way Bush did with Common Core. You want me to talk to you about these shitty fucking textbooks? But man, Bush was a Republican. Yeah, I know. Are you learning yet, shithead? Yes, he was a Republican, and guess what? There's no fucking difference, baby. They give you a couple flavors, okay? But it's the same corn syrup. It's just different food coloring. It's just different food coloring. Anyways. Yep. I don't know. I'm going to let you go because this is as much as I can do today and wasn't much, but I tried to do something. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, yada, 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 you can donate, but please do not donate and listen to the following disclaimer if any of these are true. If you don't have the money to support this podcast, you shouldn't. You need to take care of your food, water, shelter first, okay? It's important to do these things. So do that before you donate to a podcast. If there are people in your real life, I don't mean internet people you've never met. I'm going to say this again. I'm going to try to say this as often as I can. Now is the worst fucking time in your life to invest in people you only know from the internet, mainly because I don't think you can be sure who they are. But there might be people, actual people you know, people within walking distance who could use your help. Help them before you donate to some random podcast on the internet. If you set aside food for your family, like 6 months worth in your basement, you're a real fucking optimist. If you've done that and you have a dog or a cat or a parrot or a fish or a bat, but I'm mainly thinking about dogs right now. If you have yourself a pet, make sure you're thinking about your pet if you're setting aside extra food. Especially your dog, because your dog will help you. Even Frenchies might help. Well, they might help your enemy. In fact, I'm thinking of that movie based on the graphic novel 300, where that deformed dude joins the enemy forces, and that's, you know, the Frenchies are probably going to go that route. So yeah, if you're setting aside food for your family, make sure you think about your pets. If you haven't done that yet, do that first before you donate to a random podcast on the internet. It's not the end of the world. It's crazy. And as I've said, and I'll keep saying because I think it's true, it's going to get crazier. And it won't be linear. We're still in that phase where things feel like they're kind of gradual or they're not too extreme. We're still kind of riding maybe the class 2 and the class 3 rapids with maybe a bit of a class 4 thrown in. But what's coming up is going to be class 5. And if such a thing were true, it's really going to end up class 10 faster than you can realize. I know that no such rapids exist, probably, but if there were class 10 rapids on a river, that's what's coming. It's still not the end of the world. It's going to be tough. A lot of folks are probably going to die, but it's still not the end of the world. And right now, things are still kind of normal, and you can still do a lot of stuff that in a few months, maybe a year or two, you won't be able to do, and not for a long time. It might be your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren who experience that kind of modernity. But in your lifetime, what you're seeing might be the last of it for a while. And that's if we're lucky, because what I'm looking at is way worse than, you know, snow day. Back in April of 2020, you could have sold me on snow day. You could have sold me on, it's just another fucking robbery. It's a bank holiday. It's another way of lining the pockets of the richest people that ever lived. Or, as I stated in February 2019, it's a screw-bilee. But it's 2024, and the nonsense is really only getting worse. And a lot of people are incorporating it because, hey, it's called bargaining. Yeah, I don't know what's coming, but it's bigger than a bread box. It's probably not the reset, and it's probably a lot worse than just a giant economic crack-up. But that is the best-case scenario. And if it is just the collapse of the dollar and a big economic crack-up, it's still going to be pretty fucking crazy. Right now, shit's not so crazy. So before you donate to my podcast, donate to yourself. Cut yourself some slack. Give yourself a break. You know, take your family out to dinner, or probably more economical, go to the grocery store, get yourself the best fixings you can afford, and make yourself a great dinner. You know, there's still, and there will continue to be, joy in the world. Even in the worst times, there are good times, so it's not the end of the world. So like I said, before you donate to me, donate to yourself. But if you've taken care of all the things you need to, and some of the things you want to, and you've got no issues, you live in a cave complex someplace in Wyoming, and you've got all the water and food you need for the next 10,000 years, Bo Blimp Doc, you believe you'll live long enough to see the next coming epic and be one of the Frogon people they'll talk about 20,000 years from now. You'll teach them how to read and write. You'll teach them how to do the math. You'll start their new epic because you have a suspension tube. You go into that suspended animation. Yeah, you go into that suspended animation and you wake up sometime in the year 3000, Bo Blimp Doc. and you walk out of a cave to the Mungi people and you teach them how to read and write. And they look up at you and say, I didn't know I could learn to read. And you said, now you know how to read. And so they're reading books and writing and doing mathematics. Yeah. Anyways, if you are one of those people, you know, and you got more money than you know what to do with, I can tell you something. You send it my direction and I will use it. It is Sunday, September the 29th, 2024. It's just after 7 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from Splunkton, Washington, where that terrible tragedy happened 72 years ago. Not far from the Salish Sea, where sailors and whalers and submariners die every day. Not far from the Olympic Mountains, where there are ghosts and goblins and Bigfoot and some type of dragon made of cheese. Yes, it is Sunday. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Sunday. I hope you stay out of trouble. And, you know, remember, it's crazy. It's probably going to get a lot crazier, but it's not the end of the world. And getting pissed off about this political bullshit, frankly, that's a choice. You may not have a lot of choices in your life, but one of the choices you have is just disconnect from the bullshit. You can do that. You can go to your job. You can do the things you have to do, but you don't have to put a sign up in your yard. You don't have to put up a poster. You don't have to wear a t-shirt. You don't have to do any performative virtue signaling bullshit. You don't have to pretend that it's a fucking choice, or even if you made a choice, it would fucking matter. You don't have to be a moron and go to the fucking House of Representatives when you protest power, or the White House, instead of fucking reasoning it out and going to the Eccles building. Hey, Dan, what's the Eccles building? I don't know, Toothless Mega. Your IQ 77. You don't have to do that. And if you want to vote, you can still vote. You just don't have to give in to all the other bullshit. You don't have to intimidate people. You know, it's funny. A few weeks ago, I suggested the only way democracy could work is if it were not anonymous. And frankly, that makes more sense to me anyways, because if you're going to use force against your neighbor has a right to know. But people come back and say, well, it has to be anonymous. No, no, it's not. People spend all day these days trying to figure out who you're going to vote for. And as far as buying elections goes, give me a break. That stopped being a thing or a concern because it was simply a reality when de Tocqueville visited, shithead. And that was a few seconds ago. You don't have to give in to that. You don't have to participate in it. You don't have to, like, quote policies from Trump or statements from J.D. Vance. You don't have to give in to the evil. You want to vote, vote. If you're going to give me a speech about how anonymous voting, fine. Don't wear your stupid fucking mega hat, shithead. And don't ask people why they don't have a mega hat on, dumbass. But if you're going to do that, then give up on your anonymous voting, shithead. Because if it's anonymous, it's pretty fucking easy to hack, dummy.
Well, gee, I never thought about it that way.
I know you didn't, man, because you're bargaining. You're bargaining, you're playing pretend. Even the reset is a wet dream to every Bitcoin bro who will plug their computer into the side of the Death Star. But what if it's a little bit worse than that, bro? Like I said, Sunday, September the 29th, 2024. It's 7:18 a.m. Do you know where your dreams are?